real Black Adam sneak up on people like Shazam did. We finally have an amazing brain and a pen behind Batgirl. We got some TV trailers for you and a new shot from Aquaman. It's all happening right now.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's DC Movie News.
In the Great Hall of the Justice League, there are assembled the world's four greatest heroes.
Three.
Created from the cosmic legends of the universe.
Yes! What's up, everybody? Welcome to the DC Movie News Show on the Popcorn Talk Network. We have a squad for you today. It's not the usual squad, but guess what? Variety is the spice of life, and I'm proud to be here because I missed the last couple of weeks. I forget how many weeks did I miss? A couple. You've been here, I think.
Too many weeks. Too many. Any week without Johnny is a week too long.
Oh, that's no one's ever said that before. But welcome, everyone. We got plenty to talk about, actually. We're going to get right to it. We're at DC Movies SK on Twitter and Instagram, Facebook.com. I'm sorry, we're not on Instagram. Just whatever. Twitter.com/DC Movies SK. I host too many shows. And Facebook.com/DC Movies SK as well. Johnny LaQuasto here with you at Jay Quasto. Roxy Stryer, out fighting crime. Follow her at Roxy Stryer. Adam Gertler, fighting crime. Follow him at Adam Gertler. Mike Kalinowski, he's probably saving people from things. So follow him at Mike Kalinowski. Whew, the lovely lady to my far left. She can be seen at many, many Comic-Con conventions. She's running panels. I believe she owns a couple of cons now. all types of stuff. And you can follow her everywhere at Elena Jordan. She's Elena Jordan!
Hey, that's me!
How you doing?
I'm doing good. It's always good to be here.
Your Batgirl dress is pretty much perfect.
Thank you. I got really excited about Christina Hodgins.
You should be. And this is her first time on the show, I think.
It is. Yeah, it's my first time on DC Movie News.
I was forgetting because we went and crashed your show.
Right. I loved it. We did Halloween together.
We had a good time. I was on with you.
With me.
That's what I thought.
You were so Thor.
We're reunited and it feels so good.
Yeah. Wasn't I wearing something that didn't fit?
Yeah, you were wearing my shirt.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
It was my Marvel shirt.
That's why it didn't fit. And I didn't want to stand up because it was a belly shirt, essentially. Anyways, you see her every single week on Marvel Movie News as well as with me on the Raw After Show on AfterBuzz TV when her and I can actually both be there, which is never lately. But she's doing all types of other stuff for Nerdist and Hyper RPG. Mm-hmm. So check her out there.
Follow her.
Follow her at Marquee McCarty. Marquee McCarty, what up, yo?
Yes, that's me. And I'm DC Marquia today, which is why no curls, just puff.
That's fair.
Yeah.
It was good
and
to have you.
Frank Gorshin.
Because I know you're a fan of everything. Obviously, you're partial to Marvel, but just like Koi, you're like, hell yeah, come on the show and we'll talk some DC.
Oh, heck yeah. It's nerddom. Yeah. It's like, try to keep me away.
Exactly. And so there's a lot to go with. In my opinion, I say Batgirl's the top story. I know initially we had the whole Black Adam maybe, but no, I think we're going right to Batgirl. So Joss Whedon, he stepped away, and we've been saying now for at least a month or two, have a woman write the damn movie. It's called Batgirl. Give a female perspective. Well, we finally have one, and we have a great writer who's done a lot of stuff that has already hit theaters, Christina Hodson.
Yeah,
there we go. I'm excited. I know you're super excited for this, and I love that. I mean, it's like all the lead up that there was to this. I mean, Roxanne Gay was throwing her hat in the ring, and then it kind of seemed like she kind of shot herself in the foot a little bit when she was kind of semi-attacking, but attacking like a kitty does.
She was being really aggressive, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, she wanted it, you know, that kind of thing. And then I kind of wanted Gail Simone. You know, I would have really enjoyed that. Well, I like, was it Secret Six?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, she could really, you know, do a Batgirl thing. Yeah. Might as well. Birds of Prey, Secret Six, same thing. And and Christina ended up getting it. And you have like all this backstory stuff that you can tell us
or
about.
Or Bat story.
Batgirl story.
Cleaning up the town, y'all.
Starting already. I'm just excited, one, because I was so gung-ho about this project when Joss Whedon was first attached to it, and then when he stepped out saying that he didn't really have a story, I kind of got nervous that they just weren't going to go ahead with it at all. But the thing that I'm most excited about is because Christina Hodgson's script for Birds of Prey was so good, everybody at WB is just losing it. We'll talk about that next, too.
So we can assume that when Birds of Prey happen.
I mean, Harley's part of it, so technically it is a little Birds of Prey.
Exactly.
Yeah. Once again. That kind of show. I like
pun,
this.
Johnny.
Look, I did not sleep enough this week to keep up with you. I'm doing my best. It's a struggle right now. I'm trying to keep up.
Margot Robbie would probably be so exhausted, isn't she? Wouldn't she be like connected to like four films by now?
Yeah, but she's the one who's kind of spearheading it. So
yeah,
that's
but
what...
it's like, woof. She's turning into like the Hugh Jackman of with like lately with DC.
The
she's
greatest show
a little
woman
bit of everything.
Yeah.
Hey, I like her as Harley.
Absolutely,
I think that's great.
Yeah. So.
So she's already going to be the writer for Birds of Prey whenever that does happen.
So Birds of Prey, everybody is losing it over it to the point now that they're really pushing to find a new director. So they're really searching to find a director for it because they want to kind of beat Marvel to the punch, I think, for an all-women superhero team.
Right.
Which will be probably one of the first times that DC kind of jumps the gun over Marvel and, you know.
Yeah, I mean, Wonder Woman.
Well,
Wonder Woman, yes, but it's... We have kind of a more established female characters too on the Marvel side for a while. Wonder Woman, though, just absolutely breaking barriers. But this team up, I've been so excited about because I'm a huge Black Canary fan and Batgirl and Poison Ivy and Harley. So it's all of my favorites all together. So
that movie is going to have dudes going to the theater in droves.
Everyone will be going to the theater.
You're right. I'm just saying, though, for partially different reasons. Like
that is true. This will cater to everybody's aesthetic.
You can definitely count on Batmanthony being there.
Batmanthony.
How many times will you go to see it, Batmanthony?
One for every woman.
Yes, I thought you were going to say that, too. It was like six, right?
Batmanthony, your voice sounds so familiar. I feel like I've heard it before somewhere.
It's very handsome.
No, you haven't heard it before. No. You're mistaken.
It's actually completely mistaken. You won't see him in daylight, that's for sure.
No.
I hope with this, I mean, this is just my own little pet thing. I would love for Poison Ivy to be a total carnivore. I hate that, you know, those storylines where they have her as a vegetarian. Mm-hmm. It's like she wouldn't eat her children. She'd eat us.
I dig that. Yeah.
Whichever direction they go with it, I know that it's going to be amazing because everybody at Warner Brothers is clamoring to get this movie made now because of Christina Hodson's script. So, and because her script was so good, they immediately said, hey, write Batgirl. You already gave us a little sneak peek of Batgirl in your Birds of Prey script. We want a whole thing. And because they're so gung-ho about it, I'm super excited.
So, nice. Do you think it wasn't even a contest? Because obviously, we were talking about Roxanne already, how aggressive she was. She's like, let me write Batgirl. It makes you wonder if they even... This was like a month ago she tweeted this. It makes you wonder if they even put her in the running, or once they saw the Birds of Prey script, they were just like, okay, it's yours.
Well, we don't know when... They were shown when the script was actually finished.
So
and
she
when it
was wrote
given
it,
over. So it
was she hired
been,
to write it? Do you think, or she wrote
she
it on
was
her
hired
own?
To write Birds of Prey because she and Margot Robbie teamed up. Margot Robbie is producing that movie because she wanted it to get made. Because
damn.
And this is what I'm hoping because in the comics, Harley is most empowered when she leaves Joker and then gets with Poison Ivy, and that happens via Birds of Prey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's real. You want to be part of that brunch.
I'm hoping that this is going to be the scenario, is that Birds of Prey is going to set that up, and the reason that she's so gung-ho is that maybe this will give us a little bit better dynamic that's a less glorified Harley and Joker, because even the portrayal in Suicide Squad, as brief as it was very romanticized, and the whole point is that he is a monster who manipulates and abuses and is horrible to her.
Sure.
And she ultimately overcomes that and then is happy. So I'm hoping that that's going to be what this script maybe touches on.
I hope so.
That would be nice.
It would be cool. Especially for like female empowerment. I feel like this is the time. Like this is the time to make this movie. And if Warner Brothers is so head over heels for the script that they already are saying, Christina, write another one right now.
And if Nicolas Cage has his way, he'll be the Joker.
How
terrifying would that be?
Yeah, I can kind of see it.
I don't
think it's going to happen
at all. I cannot.
We'll talk about that one later. We'll kind of go a little in order.
You lobbed it up to me. I'm going to mention Nick Cage. But,
it's fun. It's not going to happen, hopefully, but still super fun. I think Batmanthony is prepared.
Yeah, no, he's
so
prepared
excited.
All the time. But yeah, Christina Hodson has already written a number of projects. She's wrote Bumblebee, which we haven't seen yet, but that's you know, the spinoff from Transformers, Unforgettable, Shut In. I mean, I'm amazed at writers like her. I don't know how there's enough hours in the day. I get that's her job, but there's 24 hours in a day. You're a human being. You have to do certain things. I'm amazed at people that can literally sit down and write these feature-length scripts and not only get made, but they become, like, hits.
Yeah.
It's so beyond me.
You know, you saying something like that, I remember, okay, so you know how Ava is doing Young Gods, right? There was something on her Twitter where this other director was like, oh my God, a dream come true, 6 months in the making. It was a female director, and she said, just so you know, I can't say anything about it now, but Ava put my name in the hat. And I remember that Ava, like, retweeted that out, I don't know, last week? I can't remember that director's name, but maybe? They didn't say what the project was.
Wow.
Oh, for this as a possibility.
They did say that they were, I mean, they haven't officially confirmed that they're going to have a female director, but Margot Robbie, when she was interviewed about it months ago, said that she wanted an all-female team to represent an all-female team.
Just saying.
So,
you know, that's a possibility if somebody wants to.
If they have a female writer and a female director and an all-female cast, I'm
well, just look at the
so
track record. The last time they hired a female director, it turned out pretty well.
Yeah.
Patty!
So, I mean, when you have a team like Christina Hodson and Margot Robbie, I would think directors are going to be pining to do that film.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I do agree. I think you got to keep it all female because I'm not saying that a guy can't direct a woman or a woman can't direct a guy. It just makes sense. When you have all the leads being female superheroes, why not find a director who loves those female superheroes?
Exactly.
Yeah. And then plus, it's something that we don't do a lot. But we should do more, and there's very talented people out there that can do this, so let's go ahead and let that door open wider for those super talented people.
I agree. Yeah. And I know some people don't like that it's kind of become the new trend that they're pushing for like female directors, but I'm like, hey, trend it up, man, because what happens is then you have really good movies that do really well, and they go, hey, maybe we should keep doing this.
I mean, the track record, if you look at the DCEU over the past couple of years, what's the most successful movie? Female director. What are the other ones? They're there.
They're there.
And you can choose whether or not you like them. I've enjoyed them all, personally, but obviously there's been very contrasting opinions and percentages.
There's definitely a standout that we have seen in the past few years.
So. There's no doubt. Yeah. And like I still stand by Justice League. I love the film, and I enjoyed the heck out of it. And when people want to trash it, I get mad, and I have to walk away.
But my favorite parts are still Diana. Even BVS and everything. I'm just like...
Yeah. I enjoyed Ray Fisher
and
Justice League, right?
Agreed.
There was like a... I don't know. There was it was like a vulnerability, but it was also just solemn, but it had layers to it. Him and Ezra Miller, I enjoyed the both of them. But I realize more people are talking Ezra Miller because Flash!
Yep.
You know, but yeah, I think...
you mean friend of the show, Ray Fisher?
Yeah.
We miss you, buddy.
I really enjoyed his performance, and I thought that was a really good Victor Stone. So I would love for there to be more fleshed out for him in the future. More fleshed out. I mean, I don't mean like we're going straight to Grit or anything with it, but it's like,
Yeah.
Agreed. You want to talk Black Adam?
Yeah.
All right, so is this, I didn't actually get a chance to catch this entire article. Is this The Rock just doing lip service again, or is there something behind this?
No, this is him saying he has actually given a quote with a year. He has said that he thinks that it's going to come out 2019. So, and he also said that there's going to be a surprise appearance for how we introduce him. A lot of people are assuming that that means that he's going to appear in Shazam, and because he's producing the movie, that would make sense. Mm-hmm. But it would be even more surprising. That's less of a surprise. If he shows up in Suicide Squad 2.
Which he easily could.
But how are they going to keep that a secret? Dwayne is not good at keeping secrets.
He's not.
If they have it as a post-credits, you know, kind of a deal, they could
kind of like
that
Deathstroke,
way. Deathstroke. Do y'all know what, you know, version of Black Adam that is? Has that been?
Because I haven't said yet. But what his quote that he said was that the script has come in. So there is a script. It has been finalized. The script came in. It's great. We're working on it. If things come together in the way we anticipate them coming together, it feels like a 2019 movie in production. And then he said, Marvel is doing such an incredible job of universe building and building out. DC is doing a great job finding the footing and tone of their movies. Certainly with like Wonder Woman, for example,
like we just said. Mm-hmm. I look forward to James Wan's movie that's coming out with Aquaman. So Black Adam is this phenomenal opportunity for us to nail the tone, make sure that he's badass, make sure that we're serving the mythology properly, and then also make sure that we can have an intrinsic DNA tied to a lot of other properties in DC. So it's not an easy thing to do, but I think we're going to nail it.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of wonder, like, are they going to do the whole thing where he is, you know, leader of his own land? Are we going to have, like, Kondok, you know, kind of a deal?
The setup was supposed to be, initially they were going to have the Shazam movie, and mm-hmm. he was going to be the main villain. But then when they switched it, now what they're trying to do is have Black Adam separate, Shazam separate, and then have a third movie mm-hmm. that they meet.
Right.
So, but if they're able to branch out more and include him in Suicide Squad 2 mm-hmm. and then maybe incorporate some other characters, then we have a higher probability for more crossover, which would, I think, be good because that would make it more of a cohesive universe, kind of more like Marvel.
I would prefer for it to be where we have Black Adam and, you know, Black Adam Origins, where it's just like he's very moral in his own way, to the point where it's like, you know, hey, you're in the way of me and my kingdom. You're not doing the right thing. So, you know, off with your head, you know, slash and dash. Maybe even doing the whole Egyptian thing if they want to, and they can move it forward in time type of a deal, depending on how weird they want to get with Black Adam. But it's just I really, really enjoy the idea, since DC already has, you know, Aquaman, we'll have, you know, Atlantis and everything, like, you know, underneath the water and everything. And since, you know, we just had like Wakanda with Black Panther, I would love for them to have Black Adam be in Kondok, where it's like we get that society, we get that feeling and those rules. So when he ultimately becomes like this badass bad guy, it's a really good progression to it, where it seems like, oh yeah, he's a hero. Oh, that's not much of a hero thing. Oh no, he's a villain. He's a super villain.
I feel like that's how they're going to go with it too, because since they are trying to do more of like an origins thing for each of them. And it would make sense too, since you know, Dwayne Johnson is really harping too on tone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That Shazam would have a lighter tone because it's Billy Batson's point of view. So it would be a lot more colorful, a lot brighter, just the way that it's shot, more kind of sitcom-y versus Black Adam.
In your opinions, do you think it's more likely for him to show up in Suicide Squad 2 or maybe like a post-credits for Shazam then? Because what timeline are we talking as well?
I think they're going to stay away from the post-credits just because that's so signature Marvel.
Yep.
I think, and because he said it's going to be a surprise appearance, I think that the surprise is that it's going to be Suicide Squad 2. Well, I don't think it's going to be Shazam.
Dwell in the post-credits thing, though. I mean, look at Batman.
Justice League.
Justice League. But in fact, if anything, Wonder Woman, I was surprised that they didn't have a post-credits for, because everything else tended to have something.
Good point. Yeah, I think you're right. I think Suicide Squad 2, obviously, the first one made a lot of money, but I do think they're concerned with, are people going to come back? Because a lot of people left the theater, and this is not me giving an opinion, by the way, angry fans. This is me stating facts. A lot of people left the theater unhappy with the first one, so they have to be wondering, all right, how are we going to draw people into this sequel if the first one wasn't up to a lot of people's standards? If it comes out that we see at Black Adam, I think that's certainly a hell of a way to get people out. That would get me excited.
Very good draw. Mm-hmm.
And if they're setting up this world that's tied into the other world, which I think is a great idea, tying it into Suicide Squad, then you have intrinsic crossover. So whichever one is most successful, then on the marketing, push that character, and then it brings you into the theater to then be introduced to the other characters that then snowball effect.
I just really, really love the idea that DC is having a solo movie based completely on a villain. Like, that is gorgeous. And I think that that's a really good precedent to set for other properties.
And it gives the audience a chance to choose, is he an anti-hero or is he really just a flat-out villain? Because you can go either way with him. So it will be interesting. Speaking of Suicide Squad, Hell to Pay, the animated film, is apparently killing it. It's getting great reviews. It's R-rated. People are saying they're enjoying it more than the live action, which...
significantly.
Okay. I mean, So.
Everyone is just losing it over this movie. It's basically just like when people were losing it over Justice League New Frontier. Mm-hmm. It's this, but to the nth degree. How people were kind of on the fence with Killing Joke.
I liked it.
I enjoyed it.
It wasn't
It wasn't a feature.
You know, it wasn't.
Yeah.
what it Justice League Dark. Everything, watch it wasn't exactly, you know, Return of the Joker.
That's the difference.
I just thought
like, this wasn't Justice League Dark, but this is.
My biggest, biggest problem with The Killing Joke wasn't the story, it was the performances. I thought they were just line readings for the most part.
Oh, okay. Mm.
And for me, it's like, and like I said, I do voiceovers. I take pride in being, you know, I think voiceovers are difficult to do. And I remember watching The Killing Joke, and I know Kevin Conroy's amazing, but I'm just like, it sounds like he's half asleep this entire film.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. That's just my opinion. That's why I didn't like it.
Maybe I have to do a rewatch of it, because I was just like, ee!
See, it's like when he sits down with Joker in jail. That scene, to me, had no levity whatsoever. Just in my opinion.
Okay.
But Hell to Pay, apparently it's very grindhousey.
Yeah. Well, you know, I always enjoyed the animated that DC puts out. It's like, wow.
I just kind of like knocked it out of the park. The animated. I didn't watch it as much, but...
Like, I like Suicide Squad, the animated, big time. I kind of expected the movie to have been that. It was its own beast, obviously, but I just thought it had a really nice levity with it, with that one, and death, which is cool. Well, you know, in that context.
Yeah.
In that animated context.
Yeah, I dig when animated films are not afraid to go R, and there's a whole lot of going on with this film. And when do we actually get the live action? We're talking 2020, right? It's going to be... I'm excited for that. I mean,
I'm excited. I think it's going to be cool.
Yeah, 2020 is going to be a heck of a superhero year. A lot of good content coming out then.
But talking about, too, the voice actors, I mean, they have for... Suicide Squad, Hell to Pay, Vanessa Williams playing Amanda Waller, like C. Thomas Howell playing Professor Zoom. Amazing. Like, they just have incredible Christian Slater as Deadshot.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, they've got, like, I mean, it's Slater, really good performances.
Mr. Robot has revamped Slater to the nth degree.
And I always loved him. I loved him from, like, Legend of Billie Jean. Like
great movie.
First movie.
Wait, was he in Billie Jean?
He was. Yeah, that was his very first movie. He was the brother.
Oh my God!
In Legend of Billie Jean. I want my $608.
It's from 1985.
Okay.
Pat Benatar has one of the greatest songs ever from the soundtrack.
Awesome. I keep on confusing my Christians. Is he the same one from Robin Hood?
No.
Who's that one?
Oh God. Don't ask me.
Sure. Never mind. That's somebody else completely.
Christian
different.
Slater is like Heathers.
Yes.
Now you got him.
Got him.
Yeah. He's on Mr. Robot. Heathers.
He was blonde in Legend of Billie Jean, though.
Yeah, I don't know that movie at all.
You should watch it.
I'm sure that I've seen. Lost Boys.
Is he?
I'm confusing him with somebody else, but I know Heathers.
You'll love Billie Jean, though. Batman, Anthony, you're gonna say something?
No, I was just saying that she was wrong.
Okay. Thanks for pointing out our imperfections, Batman.
She was wrong.
What? I was wrong? Oh.
Aquaman is coming to the UK a week before everywhere else, apparently. They moved up the release date to December 14th. I'm sorry. Wait a minute. What?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. We're still getting it first. It's just they are seeing it a week earlier than the UK was going to see it.
No, so. The UK gets it a week before we do.
They do?
Yeah. The first time that we actually changed that's typically how it goes. Basically every comic book movie. The difference is Marvel's most recent movie. They released them simultaneously. That's just because they didn't want Avengers spoilers. But typically the UK does get the movie a week before we do, and they have confirmed that Aquaman will be released a week
They're better before. At keeping secrets than we are.
They are, but they get the Oscar fodder movies after us. They get the blockbusters before.
There's some like television shows they don't get for like forever afterwards.
Almost like a year.
So surprised about that.
Am I crazy? I thought Aquaman was being released in November. Wasn't it at one point?
I think they pushed it a while ago. It's a December release.
I was still waiting for November. Damn it.
Yeah, December 14th. But since they moved up it was supposed to be December 21st for UK as well.
Sure.
So since they moved them to the 14th, maybe they'll move us up. I don't know.
Maybe. Well, speaking of Aquaman, the pride of gypsies himself, Jason Momoa, tweeted or Instagrammed out a new photo. And it's kind of hard to see. It's obviously in the editing bay. But boy, does it look visual.
It looks so cool.
Yeah.
The lighting and everything. I'm super excited.
Yeah, this is going to be a fun movie. I mean, it's supposed to have an Indiana Jones kind of flair. And I like to joke that Jason Momoa is a wrestler. He totally isn't. But I'm like, yeah, Jason Momoa, the
He looks a lot
wrestler,
like...
right?
He looks like Roman Reigns.
He looks so much like Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
But he's, yeah. But I mean,
I cannot.
This is
going to
be so funny with the, well, funny in the sense that it's like, Indiana Jones-esque, you know, him as an action star. I really enjoyed him. And Justice League, he was so alone. He just seemed so lonely.
Well, that's what he was talking about, this character, too, was that he was saying that because in Justice League we saw him at his loneliest and his saddest, that this is going to be him just really gritty and rough through Aquaman, kind of pushing through it. So we're seeing kind of a grittier version intentionally, and that's why it was set up that way.
Okay,
then. So I'm like, all right, get him a Momoa. He may just be lip service, but regardless, those lips are beautiful. So anything that he says, I'm like, I'm on board.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder which Indiana Jones-esque it's like, though. I mean, don't want Crystal Skull.
Any of them is fine. Well, Crystal, yeah. Okay, good point.
Don't want Crystal Skull.
Yeah, I don't want Shia LaBeouf showing up in a greaser
Temple
jacket.
Temple of Doom is cool.
There's going to be a scene where he swings like from vine to vine, but there's a bunch of seahorses instead of monkeys. It's going to be really good.
Get out. Hey.
If someone pulls a heart out of a body, then it's worth Temple of Doom.
I'm excited. Man. I just love, too, the way that he describes everything. Like, his caption on the photo was finishing my edit on season 3 Frontier with the editors. It's so stoked. Like,
nice.
8-0s. He's like, in between pickup shots on Aquaman, all caps, boom, almost done with both. It's going to be a good year. Aloha, Jay.
Sweet.
I wish I was that cool.
God, he's so cool.
We got a quote from Jake Gyllenhaal about becoming the Batman, and when he was asked if he will be the next Batman, he laughed and said, wow, that's a very difficult question. The answer to that question is no. Batmanthony, what do you think of that?
I would have loved to have seen him don the Cape Crusader, but it's okay. I guess I'll just keep wearing it.
Okay, that's fair.
Okay, yeah, legit Batmanthony.
Yeah, I kind of like Wes Bentley as a possible Batman if they're going to go with that. Like, he's Christopher Nolan approved, you know him from Hunger Games, Interstellar. Yeah. I keep on saying this show wrong. American Horror Picture Show?
American Horror Story?
American Horror Story. Thank you.
Like, yeah, where it's like Coven and go,
yeah, I mix it all show, together.
I think it should be called
I like it.
American Horror Picture Show.
That would be an amazing crossover.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I love Coven.
To me, when they were saying Jake Gyllenhaal, it was weird to me because I was like, but Maggie Gyllenhaal was Rachel. So in my head, I'm like, no, like, Batman can't, but it's his sister. Like, I know it's like
a weird
crossover.
Oh my God, I never even thought about that.
Like, I mean, they're not like the same movie at all, but regardless, I'm like, no.
Yeah. Well, looks like he's decided he's not gonna.
Yeah, he's
probably
anyway.
Busy with some other like.
Well,
fantastic
and also Joaquin
film
Phoenix keeps saying
right
that he's
now.
Not doing it to the point that you're like, whatever, Joaquin, you're always lying. You definitely are.
Everyone's lying.
Well, that's because Nicolas Cage is doing it. Roll that footage. Yeah,
roll that beautiful Nick Cage footage. He is the Joker. By that we mean he's probably joking. So Wonder Woman 2 will be shot in IMAX. So not a shock. Just a.
It actually is a little bit of a shock.
Why?
Because the first one was not shot in IMAX at all, and they did some select scenes for Justice League, but they apparently are doing like Dunkirk level, where they're doing like a lot of scenes, because the rep for IMAX was talking about it, and so I think it's going to be really cool. They're intentionally shooting it for IMAX.
That's cool.
Not all of the movie, but there's select scenes like they're doing, but it's like apparently going to be a pretty heavy amount.
Wow. Nice. You know?
That'll be extra awesome when we watch it in IMAX, which I definitely will.
The first one was already incredibly visual, so yeah, it's going to be even better.
No Man's Land was...
Ooh, real.
Right.
That's one of the times I cried. Zack Snyder is just... he enjoys teasing and leaking stuff out about BVS, you know, 2 full years after it's been released. And I dig it. You know, Zack Snyder's still talking to the fans. Vero's thing. I've downloaded it. I can't figure it out, but he's all about it. So someone asked about The Flash, you know, his cameo in BVS. What was it all about? Well, his quote is, "What were we doing when we unchained this earth from its sun? Flash is the madman whose time is not yet and heralds a future where God is dead." So he's basically admitting that The Flash in that sequence is from the nightmare sequence that Bruce Wayne had, that 4-minute thing. It's kind of lost me a little bit, but
well, a lot
cool.
of people I think were confused. It's a Nietzsche quote. He's referencing Friedrich Nietzsche, so he's saying, and so the whole like parallel is like the sun and the earth, and how the earth will die when the sun is gone, and Lois is representative of Superman's son, and mm-hmm. so when she dies, he dies and flashes from a version where basically after this has happened and he has seen Superman die.
When he lost his sense of who he was. Yeah, so he sees, right.
Yeah, so it's very layered. Very, very deep dive.
And that's the thing about, like, you have to appreciate about Zack Snyder is he is so deep with his stuff. And unfortunately, it didn't work out to completion with the DCEU. But you have to appreciate what he does. Because, like, there's stuff that's way over my head.
That's why that's why everybody's pushing for that Snyder cut. But, like, he clearly had a vision. I wish we could have seen it.
Yeah. Well, you know, never say never. Mm. There's going to be anniversary specials or something. And,
I feel like it's never.
So, I don't know. Hey, y'all might be Snyder's best friends this time next year. And he's like, hey, I got something to show you. Really like your show.
Yeah.
And here you go.
Here's something interesting. Zeno Hour.
Go ahead.
Can you guys confirm that Zeno Hour says we already know who's playing Dr. Shin in Aquaman? So they added Randall Park in reshoots and pickups. Who's actually a friend of mine from like 10 years ago. Great guy.
Oh, I
didn't know
that. Yeah, I had no idea.
Yeah, if you don't know Randall Park, he played Kim Jong-un in The Interview.
Oh.
Yeah.
He was good.
Oh, he's great. And he's also in Fresh Off the Boat. But I don't know how true this is. I have not seen this, but it wouldn't shock me. Randall Park's incredibly talented, and yeah, that'd be cool. Mm. And apparently, we do have a new American Horror Story picture show coming out. According to Sky Patterson, Apocalypse Season 8 will be in the fall. I hope it's better than this past season. I love the show, but this past season...
I do their after show, and this past season was...
Yeah. I've jumped around on their seasons. Like, I saw the first one, definitely, when it was just, like, the house. And then Coven was cool. But then there was that one where there was, like, aliens involved. And then there was one that was in a hotel, and that one kind of lost...
Was
cool.
Hotel was amazing. Carnival, I loved it.
I guess I saw the very first part. And Freak Show, yeah. The one that took place. I liked that one.
I don't know.
And one of my friends was
a lot of people didn't
that
like
one.
That one. But
one of the
I
seasons
liked it.
Was based off the LaLaurie House in New Orleans, where I just was this past week.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that was Coven.
That was Coven.
Yeah, and that whole story is incredibly terrible.
Kathy Bates as Madame LaLaurie. Yeah.
There you go.
You didn't bring any passengers back with you, did you? Well, from your haunted house.
Actually, four years ago, Scott Narver and I did take photos outside of the mansion, and one of the photos, clear as day, you could see two faces staring back at us.
No, spooky.
I like the Bat-Manthony spooky.
Bat-Manthony.
I was going to say, most people I've seen at different conventions cosplay as American Horror Story characters.
Oh, yeah.
But we had kind of an interesting cosplay at C2E2 this week.
We sure did. Someone dressed as Patty Jenkins.
Yeah!
And tweeted it to her, and it was phenomenal.
And Patty Jenkins, like, lost it over it and said that the whole crew was cracking up and that they were loving it.
That's great!
So she responded.
Yeah, that's cosplay outside the box. I enjoy cosplay there a lot.
Outside the box, inside the lens.
Bam!
There
you
go.
Boom.
Mm-hmm.
But we're like a Power Dynamo team over here.
Of her, like, directing all the different Wonder Woman cosplays, I just thought was amazing.
Oh, yeah. Well, the next story is Nick Cage thinking he'd be the perfect Joker.
Yeah. You know, and people are giving him a lot of flack for this. I'm on board. I think Nick Cage would be a great Joker. I think he would be awesome.
I think this is like, you know, like a standalone thing. Kind of like, you know, Punisher Dirty Laundry. Like, you would do that with Nick Cage, but maybe with a slightly higher budget. But maybe, I don't know, something you'd release on one of the streaming channels, like Netflix,
whatever.
Stuff like that.
Like,
but
you would have his kid Kal-El. Let him be in a movie.
Yeah, and his name himself is because he loved Luke Cage so much, the character. He called himself Nick Cage.
Right.
But I'm picturing... You know, Nicolas Cage from The Rock, and he is, you know, stumbling around. I forget his character's name in that, but it's like, you know, kind of straight-laced, kind of bumbling, just trying to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. And then he has to become the Red Hood, gets, you know, pushed into the vat, and then he becomes his character from Face Off.
Yeah.
And then that's like the Joker-like character. I mean, if we're doing this... Do that.
And I thought it was kind of the way that he said, I mean, they asked him point blank about him because people have been asking about him playing Superman a lot too. Mm. So he said, I mean, I think my comic book days are kind of, I'm on to other things, but I always thought I'd make a great Joker. And I always thought that I would have been a good villain in one of the Marvel movies like Doctor Doom. But Doctor Doom, you have to wear that mask. But I thought the story leading up to Doctor Doom could have been interesting. At this point, if I was to go back into the format, it would probably have to be as a villain.
And he said, and then they asked him about Joker specifically, and he said, mm-hmm. it would have been perfect for me to go on even more off the rails than I've ever done before, you know? It'd be true. Fun.
Yeah.
He would have had a real fun time with it. I mean, we kind of joke because there's a lot of memes and everything, and then maybe you'll have meme Nicolas Cage actually be more in your head than actually his body of work. But he's a really great actor.
I mean, I was on board for Tommy Wiseau after his, like, joke video that he sent out. I was still like, you know, Tommy Wiseau would be an amazing Joker.
I didn't see that video, but that guy terrifies me.
Dude, watch the Joker video because really? You actually watch it and you're like, wow, I thought this would be funny, but legitimately, if this was an audition, I would cast him.
Was it him reading off lines?
It was him being the Joker, saying lines and stuff, like, dressed as the Joker, but... in a very Tommy Wiseau fashion, and it's kind of amazing.
You're tearing me apart.
You're tearing me apart, Batman.
That's all I know. Speaking of possible roles that never came to be, Brad Dourif has a quote about, you know, he's being linked to Scarecrow and Batman Forever, and he said, you know, I've heard that. One time I saw Tim Burton on an airplane, and he was looking at me very interestedly, but I never spoke to him about it, and I think I would have been a big enough star for anyone to cast me in that role. I think I wouldn't have been a big enough star to be cast in that role. He might have been interested, but I doubt the powers that be would have let him do it. I don't know who Brad Dourif is.
Well, it's funny because Nick Cage was also supposed to be Scarecrow. Mm-hmm.
Ah, so. Well, I liked what's his name? The guy that ended up actually playing Killian it. Murphy. He reminds me of...
Killian Murphy?
Okay, because I was going to say Colin Murphy, and I was like, no, that is a person that I know in real life. I really enjoyed his depiction of it. But from what I can gather from that story, never be afraid to talk to somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If they're the ones that are looking at you like,
He's most famous for being the voice of Chucky, is what most people know him as. Yeah, okay. So if you've ever seen any of the Chucky movies, he was the voice of Chucky.
That's a hell of a VO role. Damn.
So, yeah. He was also in, like, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and Lord of the Rings, Two Towers.
Hmm. But there it is.
Yeah.
There it is.
So you may recognize him from that.
Okay. Justice League Dark has pretty much been in development hell for quite some time now, but a recent draft of the movie script may include a trip and a cameo from the Shadow Pack team. But who knows? I mean, we've announced this movie in 2012. Here we are. It's a fun thing to just toss out there and nibble on it if you want to.
But I love that even if they do show the Shadow Pack team, they're not going to interact. It's just going to be basically like a cameo to set Great. Up future appearances. So
party on. Yeah.
But it's still news, I guess.
Yeah. And Constantine. Everybody loves Constantine. So True. Just put him in everything. Yeah.
Do we want to talk about that BVS reference contest or movie?
Yeah, there. Up to you guys. I mean, there's...
What is it exactly?
Okay, so basically, because Zack Snyder is so in love with Vero, a fan reached out to him was like, hey, I want to keep this BVS conversation going. So he created a fan contest that's a reference contest that basically you just join the trivia fan event challenge. You just post your favorite reference. Zack Snyder will go through all of the responses, pick out the three most interesting ones. He'll feature them on his official Vero account and explain his creative process in including the reference and some insight into what it means in the context of the film's theme. So all you have to do is use the hashtag BVS references. There's only one submission per fan. So if you're on Vero, send it out, use that hashtag, and then he'll explain scenes to you if he chooses you.
Oh, that's cool.
Okay.
You know, fleshing out, that thought process behind things is great, you know, and it's like a direct line of communication with a creator of some people's, it's a very passionate thing for them.
And if you're wondering, like, if something was an Easter egg or if something was a reference to something else or what it was, you just say, hey, what was this a reference to? And he'll say, this scene was a reference to this.
Sure, that's pretty cool. And that's him, you know, giving his time and his talents to, fans. And he's a fan of his own work. So, yeah.
Sure. I mean, that's cool. Pretty awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, here's a video that's gotten over 2 million views. This is the last movie item we have. It's the How It Should Have Ended gang decided to come up with How Justice League Should Have Ended. It's an 8-minute video. They have, 7.5 million subscribers. So we're not going to watch the whole thing, but we do have, Elena, you can kind of guide us through this. I've never seen these videos before.
It's pretty funny. I love this series. They do this animated series how things should have ended, and they kind of pick apart different scenes and say what it should have been instead. They're always really, really funny. This one, of course, has to take a little bit of a jab at the mustache gate, as all of them do. But my favorite is the Wonder Woman and Cyborg scene, where they're like, this is what it should have been. So I'm not going to spoil it, but you guys can watch it yourselves and check it out. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, it is 8 minutes. We don't really have...
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I like the animation.
But yeah, the animation style is really funny. They do these for a lot of different movies, and so I'm kind of surprised that they're doing this one so many months after it came out, but...
Something I really like about, because, you know, we were talking about Shazam and Billy at the beginning. Now I'm just, like, in this. You know, like, at the beginning of where Superman doesn't really answer, it would be great if with the Shazam movie, it starts with him as a kid, and he's the kid that's doing the little interview with his phone, and Superman answers in that one. And then it starts the rest of Shazam.
So this is like animated honest movie trailers in a way.
Kind of. Yeah. But just
is this
instead
it?
Of yes.
Maybe you need us too.
I'm actually already part of another team.
What?
Cyborg!
Yeah!
There's an evil wolf that does stepping upon.
Go for it!
Lost it. I was like, yes.
Hey, yes. Wonder Woman. Where are you going looking so fine?
No, you didn't,
guys.
That's cute.
So yeah, so
well
okay,
done.
But yeah, it's funny. I'm gonna have to watch the rest of this afterwards, obviously. Yeah.
It's well done. It's very well done.
Well, that's it for the movie news. So in honor of Roxy being absent today, we still have to do Batmanthony.
It's time for Roxy Stryer's TV time. All the girls think Johnny's fine. Adam's
it's true.
So fine. Also, Mikey, Christmas time. DC movie news, it's time to talk. TV time.
All right.
Awesome.
So.
That's so great.
Yeah, one of our listeners, Matt Volmar, made this song for us. He's
holy crap.
Very talented guy.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Nicely done. It nicely divides it, too.
Yeah. So, Preacher, it's coming back, y'all. It's got a premiere date for season 3. Gosh, I'm so far behind.
June 24th.
Yep.
I'm
at
so
10 p.m.
happy.
Sunday night. Love me some Preacher. Oh, my God.
And there's a quote. In season 3, Jesse Custer's quest for God takes him back to the place he's been avoiding his whole life, home. Jesse, Tulip, and Cassidy return to Angelville, the Louisiana plantation where Jesse was raised, and find old grudges and deadly obligations await them. With the help of his friends and a few enemies, Jesse will need to escape his past, because the future of the world depends on it. So I do recall in season 1, he's a preacher in this random ass town. Yes. It's because his past is so dark.
Mm-hmm.
So now I guess they're going to visit that, which is pretty cool.
And if you are not caught up on season 2, they just released all of it on Hulu too, so you can watch it and get all caught up.
No way.
It is very good. Huh?
Are you serious?
I'm so serious, Batman Anthony.
I know what I'm doing this weekend.
Get caught up. I'm rewatching it because it's so good.
It's really good.
And so a little bit of spoiler. I know they have some photos that they released here. They released 3 different promo photos. There's one, though, that they released. So if you haven't caught up on season 2, don't listen. Spoiler alert for season 2. Spoiler alert. Don't listen.
Hey.
The season 3 promos are showing Tulip and wrapped in some white light and her looking back behind her. So we're wondering if we're going to see some afterlife stuff because of how things went down in the season 2 finale.
Comics have been around for a while. In the comics, Tulip is killed.
Yeah.
And then brought back.
Okay.
You know, kind of a thing. I don't know if they're going to go with that, but that sounds like a pretty good indication. And spoiler over, you can look again.
And Batman Anthony, you don't have time to Hulu and chill. You're out fighting crime a lot.
That's true.
Yeah, but when I'm on my way to the crime scene, I have a TV in my Batmobile.
Okay.
And it's a self-driving Batmobile, so it's safe.
Yeah, made by Tesla.
So it's also green. Good for you, man.
I love that.
And it can survive space.
Saving the world any way I can.
Yeah.
Preacher, I very much recommend going ahead and watching it. I mean, follow Batmanthony's footsteps with this and Alana. because it's such a really good rendition from like the comics.
Yeah.
Like it's distilled down to like the essential awesomeness of these characters, and then it's like cranked up a notch. It's
And the casting is brilliant.
Yeah. I mean, so good. Ruth Negga.
She's incredible. Yeah.
I've loved her since Misfits, too. So I was all excited when both of them came back. I was like, oh, what up, Cass? Like,
yeah. Incredible for sure. I do want to catch up. It's just I'm not going to, but I'd like to.
Yeah. There's a lot of TV to watch.
We got some Teen Titans set picks and some drama from them. But we'd first look at, you know, Beast Boy, Raven, Starfire, Robin. A little bit of everything, but the biggest story here is Starfire, and I know Anna Diop just released an Instagram post. I think this picture is perfectly fine. Apparently, she came under fire from a bunch of bad people, and her response was incredible. She's like, look, this was a photo that I didn't release, and you calm down, people, essentially.
Yeah, I think... with this, I mean, we are rabid fans. We are very much, and, you know, there's a lot of Starfire fans out there and everything, too. And all I can really liken it to is how with Inhumans for Marvel people, they released, like, it was, like, Entertainment Weekly and everything they released. But that was, like, a complete Medusa thing where that wig happened kind of a thing. And it's like, this is a paparazzi type photo taken, like, who knows what time of day. This could have been, like, 5 o'clock in the morning, could've for been. All we know.
Yeah.
You know,
but
freezing weather. And then it's, like, and like, not only that, she could be, like, with her character, she could be pretending to, you know, like, how she does with, like, this is how humans dress.
She doesn't look bad at all. I think she looks good. And I think the way that the other characters are, I think it's supposed to be very bright colors, very over the top. I kind of likened it to very Mystery Men-esque, but I love that style. I think it looks great.
Yeah,
I think about it. I think it's like a vintage throwback. If we're going to do something that we're all like super into in the 90s, yeah, bring us back some 90s flair. I'm into it.
Yeah, I think that we don't know where this outfit is in context of anything, so we shouldn't, you know, judge with that. And there's a lot of stuff that they do with post-production, too. I know that there was this whole talk about, oh, lace fronts and everything. Like, we don't know. This is one picture completely taken out of the context.
Agreed.
And just... Let's just roll with it.
I'm like, whatever. If we can still be on board with Killer Frost, then y'all can shut your mouth about this week.
People need to calm down. So, Batmanthony, here's what I'm thinking. Let's go Flash trailer right into Supergirl trailer. Is that cool?
Yeah, I can make it happen.
Okay.
You can make it.
Wait, your voice just sounded so familiar, Batmanthony.
Oh, no, you're mistaken.
Oh, okay. Sorry, that's me.
Yeah. So this is a Flash... for the new season.
Do y'all talk over your...
We like our voices too much. We gotta talk over our trailers. That I have ever had. No one has to die. Yeah.
So this is for the next episode, I believe.
Yes.
Yes, this is the next episode.
Oh, no. That looked like a whole bunch of stabby happening.
People are getting real stabby in the Flash.
There you go.
Boom.
And also following that, this is for the new season of Supergirl.
Season 3. He told me that if I went near you ever, he
would kill you. Drama. You saw what your father did
at his own funeral. Would anyone care to speak? Oh, that music's creepy.
It's so good. Grasping prank of a lunatic. And I love the way that this is shot, like just the lighting of it, so different from what we normally see.
Your father didn't just go to bed normal and wake up the next morning a monster.
Good lord.
It's shot more like process. Yeah. Oh no, it's a bomb.
That's a dangerous toy. Wow.
Yes. So Torman's final prank.
How soft.
No, we're talking. Oh, Lord.
I know, right?
Now
it's like
I'm
Chucky, Saw, and little monsters all mixed together.
Little monsters?
You remember when all the toys came alive and tried to kill them at the end? Most terrifying.
Wow.
Go back.
We're gonna have to knock all of our beds like flush to the ground.
Yes, exactly.
I'm digging it. Now I'm way behind on. Has Toyman shown up yet on Supergirl?
Yes. Okay. So this is kind of like the final thing. Like we're figuring out what's going down.
What if the trickster shows up and gets jealous? That'd be great.
That would be...
Can you imagine Hamill showing up and just getting pissed off?
That'd be kind of amazing.
Won't happen. Let's see. Well, we gotta hurry, but yeah.
Yeah, and then speaking of Supergirl, Mon-El is debuting his red comic book costume we got to see in episode 15, In Search of Lost Time, for season 3. We got a little sneak peek of that, so we're excited.
Yeah.
He's gonna look, you know...
Do we want to talk the... It's not really a spoiler, because the episode already aired, except for probably in the UK. I think we should let it go. There's a spoiler about Legends of Tomorrow, but...
Maybe not, then.
Okay, yeah. Well...
We're not going to gain anything by saying it.
Somebody has left the cast, we'll say that. So somebody has left, but we're bringing in more cast members.
Yeah, and is it left, or is it they turned bad?
Sure.
Something has happened, but we won't say.
Something significant.
Mm-hmm.
We won't say.
Also, Flash, it looks like Captain Cold is going to make a return somehow in the Fury Rogue synopsis. And Arrow Season 7, Roy Harper is going to be a series regular.
Yes, I'm super excited, too, because I love Colton Haynes, who is great on Teen Wolf and an American Horror Story. American Horror Picture Show, tying it all together.
I know that one, American Horror Picture Show.
Yeah, so I'm very excited that he's back. I'm also very glad that Captain Cold is going to be back, because Miller's whole sad thing that he posted when he was leaving the show that he then deleted, because now he's back.
Woo-hoo! Yeah. There's always a way. Superhero shows always a way to come back.
Yeah. Yeah. So never be sad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Unless your death is like very monumental, like hugely monumental. Then.
But not that Mon-El mental.
What? Get out.
That one didn't stick. Yeah.
Hold on. I'm being corrected here by Ivan Soto. He says Citizen Cold Johnny, not Captain Cold.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for the
correction. What? Leonard Snart. Captain Cold.
He's saying
Captain
Citizen.
Cold Snart.
He's saying Citizen Cold.
Citizen Cold?
Yeah.
Snart is back. We'll just say Snart.
There you go. That works. And by the way, I'm not pretending to know what the hell's going on in the TV world, so I'm going to say some wrong shit. You got to deal with it.
I know about it. I love it. I watch the show. I'm all about it. I love Snart. Johnny.
Okay, Batmanthony. Such a moralist. He yelled at me for my language. But anyways, before we go, we got to talk about conversations, guys. There's so many great shows in the Popcorn Talk, but if you want to have fun, learn about life, and just really hear some amazing stories, Conversations with Maria Menounos, the woman who started all of AfterBuzz, is in podcast edition, actually. It's hosted every single Friday on iTunes. That's when it drops. It features celebrity influencer interviews along with secrets and tips on how to just... you know, win at life like she has, because she's been through a lot and she's persevered. It's got health and wellness, career, relationships, finances, all types of stuff. Go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. Make sure you rate and comment, just like on our show. It helps a lot. And let Maria know that we sent you there from DC Movie News. So Conversations with Maria Menounos, podcast edition. Check it out.
Every Friday.
Every Friday.
Every Friday.
Every Friday.
Take your weekend off right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, should we go? I guess that's it. Okay, well, why don't you, cool. Elena, put yourself over.
Hey, you guys can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan and on Instagram at That Elena Jordan Girl. I've been posting a lot of cosplay stuff. I know last week I mentioned that I debuted a new cosplay at WonderCon and people showed some love. So, thank you guys.
Fantastic.
Markeia McCarty.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Markeia McCarty. That's MarkeiaMccarty. You can also see me on Collider Heroes. That's on Wednesdays. I believe that airs at 2:00. Cool. And sometimes Movie Talk. And of course, Marvel Movie News on Popcorn Talk. Tuesdays at 2:00.
That's right. Let's see. Sunday, Championship Wrestling from Hollywood Television taping. I'll also be at the Tempe Improv April 19 to 21st. So if you're in Arizona, check it out there. And then I'll also be filming Championship Wrestling from Arizona on that Sunday as well. So if you live in Arizona, just come out and see me. I'll be all over the state, apparently, that weekend. Other than that, go to QuastoAlbum.com, JLoComedy.com. Follow Roxy Stryer, Adam Gertler, and Mike Kalinowski. We'll see y'all soon. Thanks for watching. And thank you, Batmanthony. Thanks for watching, guys. Thanks for listening. We love you. See you next week.
Bye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro,
the views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.